Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We're starting a new series in this service today, but I want to say this to you. This isn't to make you feel bad. This is to encourage you. First of all, if you were here last weekend, you were one of over 1,800 who came in person to one of our four campuses. Yeah, that's a lot. We had over 200 kids here last Sunday. If you're wondering about the future of the church, that's a pretty good thing. To have over 200 kids at one location between a couple of our campuses, that's great. But we're starting a new series in this service. The next service, right after this, we have 11 baptisms. I want to say this to you because I'm a little radical and I'm a little weird. Before Ruth and I moved away from here, we used to attend this church. And I can remember many a service. This wasn't like, I don't know if it happened once a month. It probably wasn't once a month. But I can remember this. When I would say to her at the end of the first service, I think we're going to need to stay for the second service. And the reason was because what happened in that first service was so powerful and God's presence was so evident that I needed more. And I know that's really radical, that you, what? You would go to two of the same services? I did. I just craved it. When God's presence would show up, I didn't want to leave. And so there were often times, as a basketball coach, where I just said, I got to stick around for round two, because I want to see what's going to happen. So I'm just encouraging you. I don't know what's going to happen in this service, but I'm pretty sure I can tell you what's going to happen in the next service. 11 people are going to publicly declare new life in Christ. And it's going to be exciting. I promise you. That's going to be great. Yeah. The start of this series is called Everyday Faith. And we have some tools up there. I thought about bringing a toolbox. But I just want to help you understand that coming out of Easter, when we were thinking of the series that we would plan, we thought about what are things that people just in their everyday, everybody gets excited about Easter, everybody shows up, they dress nice, they get excited. So what happens after Easter? After Easter, then what? Because really, Easter isn't the ending or the culmination, it's really the beginning. It's the launch point if you are a believer. It's the win, and now we get to go live life as believers. The two most used tools I read in a toolbox are a hammer and a screw. Which one of these two do you think I'm going to try to use today? Oh my, y'all aren't with me. I'm not going to try to use either. I'm not going to try to hammer you. But it is the idea that we would look at what's in a toolbox that would help us in our everyday faith. And today, it's going to seem like, man, this is just too rudimentary. It's too simple. It's prayer. And I'll say this much to you before I get to the scripture. I'm not sure prayer is in the toolbox. Are you listening? I think prayer is the toolbox. I think prayer is the toolbox. This week I listened to a service, and one of our former pastors who left here and went to Philadelphia, he was sharing in the service, and someone asked, what is it that he does? In other words, they were asking from a professional, like, what's his job? What's his role now? Are you listening? And this was the reply of one of his staff members. They said, he prays. And they didn't say anything else. And I thought about that, and I thought about, wonder what people think of when they think of Kevin Griffin. Well, he talks about Philadelphia sports a lot. Well, he, And I wondered, and I was challenged, and I was convicted. I wonder if people would say, when they think of my name as a man, he prays. Wow. What a challenge. How's your prayer life? Lifeway Church, which is pastored by Craig Rochelle, did a series a few years ago, and he asked this question, and it's a really good one. Are you tired of praying the same lame, boring, do-nothing, powerless prayers? God bless this food. God protect my family. God be with them as they travel. Are those bad prayers? They are not. They're just these prayers, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't repeat prayers. We're going to repeat one that Jesus told us to repeat today. But he asked a great question, and he said, how often, how tired are you sick of this powerless prayer life? And that challenged me. How about you? How's your prayer life? I like this scripture that I'm going to start with in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is power-packed. But this one was in the middle of the chapter. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. Keep on praying. This week, Angela Cole was sitting in the office. It was Wednesday or Thursday, and she had gone out to coffee with some other people, and she came in, and she had her coffee cup sitting there, and it said on her coffee cup, Romans 12, 12, written. And I said, did you write that on there? She said, no, the place we went for coffee, they write these on there. And I said, wow, that's pretty interesting because I'm going to start my message on Sunday with that. Romans 12, 12. Here's a quote by a former prisoner of war in a Nazi camp. Corrie ten Boom. Most people use prayer as their spare tire instead of their steering wheel. When all else fails, when nothing's working out, when I got nothing that's going right, it becomes my rabbit's foot. I guess I'll just throw one up there and hope somebody's listening. Wow. Luke chapter 11. Today's going to be shorter, by the way. You can exhale. You could even say hallelujah already, because the message is on prayer, but it'll be shorter. We're going to carve out time. I'm forewarning you now at the end so that we could actually pray. And we're going to do that in a couple different ways. Luke chapter 11. It's amazing. Luke talks about prayer in the prayer life of Jesus more than any other gospel writer, but he waits 11 chapters to get to what Jesus has to say about prayer. And here it is. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. They didn't say, teach us how to pray. They just said, teach us to pray. Pause. It's the only thing the disciples ever asked Jesus to teach them. Hey, Jesus, will you teach us how to preach? Jesus, teach us how to get money from people. Jesus, would you teach us how to do those miracles? Jesus, teach us how to gather a crowd. Lord, teach us to pray. Because we've been hanging around you a little while, and it seems like you do a lot of this. You do it in private. You do it in public. You do it when it's just us. You seem to do this all the time. It seems to be a steady conversation between you and your dad. We're wondering, could you teach us how to pray? Like, what do we do here, Jesus? Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Now, he's repeating a prayer that he's already said in the earlier chapters of Matthew. This is the shorter version of it. The word Father here, Abba, it's an intimate, familial prayer. It's not just I'm praying to the force somewhere. Give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. And then he goes into this little section. This won't appear on the screen, but I'll read it to you. He said, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to offer him. And suppose the one inside says, don't bother me. I'm in here and my kids are asleep. The door's already shut. I can't get up. And he said, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I tell you, are you listening? What should you do in your prayer life? Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. One of the things that troubles me about church is that I think we tell younger people, we don't really want their questions. We should encourage all the questions people have. They should not be ashamed or afraid to ask, to seek, and to knock. He can take it. Where else would we go anyway? We should come ready to beat on his chest, to ask, to seek, and to knock. That's what he told us to do. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. He's not saying just ask selfishly for things you want. That's not what he's saying. Your fathers, this is beautiful. If your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how much to give good gifts for your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Just a curious question for you. There's a point in time in your life when Christmas changed for you. Christmas changed for you, in particular, if you are a parent, aunt, uncle, or grandparent. And the point, I don't know when it was, it changed for you when you went from loving to receive gifts on Christmas to the real joy came from, I cannot wait for them to open this gift. That's our Heavenly Father who loves, delights, not because he wants us to beg and grovel, but he wants us to come to him. He delights in that relationship. Have you ever felt like you're praying, but your prayers are just hitting the ceiling? Like I'm talking, but I don't really know who I'm talking to, and there's nothing out there, and it just keeps hitting the wall and hitting the wall, and I've got this problem, I've got this issue, I've got this diagnosis, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. You're not the only one who felt that. You're sitting in a room full of people who felt that. But I want you to watch the Chosen's rendition of a disciple who was in real doubt and real question, wrestling with God, and watch what happens in this scene.
Blessed are you. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. Hear Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. My prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. O done for you. Do not hide your face from me. Do you see me? Do you see me? What is this? How do you know me?
I have known you long before Philip called you to come and see. Don't look at him. Look at me. When you were in your lowest moment, and you were alone, I did not turn my face from you. I saw you under the fig tree.
I knew it.
Well, that didn't take long.
He doesn't mess around.
Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe?
I see you, and I hear you. We're going to close in two ways today. I want to share with you a very practical thing that I've done that we have provided for you all around the room. One of the things that I have learned to do is that my prayer life wasn't the best. And I sort of suffered from ADHD and I was all over the place. And so I just decided at the advice of somebody else that I would start writing my prayers to God. And it seemed like when I would just write, I would not be interrupted like, oh, well, there's a fly, and oh, I saw that person, and I heard that sound, and I just would write my prayers and just pour my heart out to God. These are some of my prayer journals. This was long before I was a pastor. I'd just go in my office in the morning, or I'd wake up out of the bed, and I would just open a book, and I would, hey, the first one says Philadelphia Eagles. Look at that. That's the most holy one I've got. Wow. And I just pour my heart out to God. And the benefit of this was, yes, it was interrupted. Yes, it was unrehearsed. It didn't matter how many pages I wrote. Sometimes it was a half a page. Sometimes it was 3 pages. Sometimes it was I just wrote a couple sentences and I just listened and wrote what he was telling me. But the beauty of this was, and the beauty of this still is, I get to go back and I get to read where God answered prayers in my little life. Books, volumes of me just with my scribbled up, jacked up handwriting have poured my heart out to God. So today, we have these all around the room. You could just take one of these. I don't know, some of you probably already do this. Some of you may never have done this, but you're thinking, man, my prayer life is not that great. This will be one easy, simple way to try something different, to see if you could improve the communication between you and Abba Father. You can come get one of these. The second offer is this. There may be folks here today, and I don't know what your need is, but today you just need somebody to pray with you, pray for you, pray over you. I have 5 people that are going to come right now. And they're just going to come across the front, and we have anointing oil. There's nothing special or magical in the oil. It's just a symbol that a shepherd would use with a sheep to say, I identify with what you're going through. So maybe you just today would want to come, and you just say, man, today, I'm glad you're talking about this, because that's me. I'm standing in the need of prayer, and I can't even pray for myself. This is scriptural. In James, it says, call the elders of the church, and if they're in need, have people come, and let's pray over them. Let's anoint them, and let's join with them in the prayer of faith. So today, maybe that's you. We've just carved out some time here as we close to pray. I have one more picture I want to show you, and then I'll give you these words, and we're going to sing it. This is a picture of Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven penned the words to this beautiful song. In 1819, he was born. In 1842, he was engaged to be married, and his fiance died the night before he was to get married. His mom falls desperately ill. He gets engaged again later. She also dies of pneumonia. And the author of this song, with all that tragedy and all that turmoil, sends his mom these words: "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry some things to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything." What is it you're carrying? Bring it to him. What is it you think he can't handle? Bring it to him in prayer. Stand with me. We're going to sing these beautiful words. But if you feel like today, man, that's me. I need some prayer. You don't have to tell any of these folks what it is that you need prayer about. You just may need one to come and stand before them, and they'll just pray over you. There's nothing special or magical that's going to happen here. Let's sing this song. I'm just going to pray before we sing this. Let's pray together. If the Lord's speaking to you, just come. We got people who want to pray with you. Lord Jesus, I'm glad when the disciples ask you this, you didn't give them an algorithm or a scientific study on how it works. You just broke out into a conversation with your dad. That's prayer. And so we've got many needs here today. I don't know what all the needs are, but I know that you're here and you want to meet our needs. And most of all, you want to commune with us. And you've reminded us today, even through a simple video, that you see us and you hear us. So Lord, I pray that we would just come and bring whatever it is that we got, our hurt, our pain, our joy, whatever it is, and we just bring it to you. And we just communicate fellowship. Rest in the fact that we are not alone, not abandoned, and you want to talk to us. You care about us. You see us. And we can lay this all at your feet. We love you and grateful, Lord, most of all, that you love us. Amen. If the Lord's speaking, come.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.